We're here at day two of Brighton Fringe at Pavilion Gardens Cafe, which is Fringe Review's headquarters. I'm joined by Sue Bradley and
Roy Hutchins.
And I'm asking you, Roy, because I've heard rumours that you are the Madame Arcati of channeled art.
Oh, I didn't know who Madame Arcati is. Who's that?
So she was a clairvoyant in an Oscar Wilde play. Ooh. Is it true this particular show, Bear North, is you're responsible for some sort of channeling going on?
Well, it seems like that. It's been a very unusual development. You know, normally I would begin writing a show and think about what the themes I want to look at, and, you know, I'd go with a certain amount of instinct, but also, you know, a fair amount of perspicacity. But this show's been very different. I started having these dreams about fish to begin with. So many fish in the lake was this line that came to me. And then it's kind of turned into a bit of a mantra. So many fish in the lake, so many fish in the lake. And I thought, what is this? And then I realised that maybe it was a blues song. So I've been working with Dr. Blue, a very accomplished blues guitarist. And we put a little song together, and I thought that would be the end of it. I hadn't any plans to write a show last year. But then another dream turned up one night. There was this bear in a cave. And then I realised that another song was there. And then there was another and another. Then there needed to be an actual bear. And I had the vision of kind of what this bear would look like. And the bear was wearing a red dress. And it wouldn't be a cartoon bear. It would be a very real bear. And slowly this show began to put itself together. And then very strangely, I thought, yeah, I could hear violin. I thought, I know who should play this violin. It should be Sue. Sue Bradley should play the violin in this show. And Sue, I hadn't rang you for about
30 years.
That's right. And I kept thinking, oh, I must ring Sue, must ring Sue. And I was in Northampton. I was going to a restaurant. And I was thinking, must ring Sue about this bear show. And the phone rang, and it was Sue ringing me. And she can pick up the story from here, really.
Well, Sue, also, you're a creative soul, always have been, but when I first met you, you were the senior manager in the hierarchy, so what's your take on this nonsense?
it's wonderful and really uplifting and heartwarming, and it's a world that is much preferable to the corporate life that I was leading before, yes.
So, Roy, when the muse speaks to you through a dream, when the inspiration comes in a very different way to usual, what did you do with that? I mean, it would be easy just to, you know, either go to the psychologist or decide, you know, no, this needs to be ignored. But this seems to have been accepted by you very quickly and easily.
Well, not that easily. I kind of resented it because these songs were turning up very early in the morning, around about 5 o'clock in the morning. And I started keeping a tape recorder by the bed. And some of the songs that that are in the show, Bear North, as it's become, turned up with all the lyrics, all the arrangements, and the melodies, and the tunes. You know, they've hardly been changed. At least one of them, the kind of climactic song, Waterfall, hasn't been changed a bit. Not a bit, from the dream.
And what was the physical process? Did you write it down,
no.
You know?
No, I didn't write it down. I didn't want to write a show, so this is the process of me resenting the muse, if you like. And I just busked it with Mike. And then when Sue came along, fantastic. Sue, you'd say what happened.
Yeah, there's a book title here called When Sue Came Along.
Well, when I came along, I was a bit, you know, I was a bit worried about destroying the magic by writing it down. But I needed to write it down because these guys kind of already knew what they were doing, and I was, you know, we had a sort of preview show to do in a week's time, and I needed it down. So we wrote it down and started, I started inputting ideas, and at first I was uncertain, you know, because there's something very special about this. If I start making suggestions and changing it, is that going to spoil what came down? But then I thought, well, no, because I was called, wasn't I? I was called to the show. Well, I called you after 30 years. Yeah, how strange is that? Yeah. I called him because a mutual friend was in trouble, and I just wanted to. And Roy was the only person I knew who knew this. So I was called to the show. I thought, well, in that case, my ideas must be
Absolutely. Okay. Okay, so I am mad, but north, north, west, but when the wind is southerly, I know a hawk from a handsaw, said Hamlet. Was Sue's writing it down the kind of sanity check?
Well, the first thing that happened was that I had a very unique experience because Sue wrote the show down. and it was, I don't know what it was, 20 pages long or something like that, and I had this extraordinary experience where I read my own show for the first time. And as I read it, I was very aware that I would never have written it. All of those things you do when you write, and you tidy up, and you don't repeat words, and you find a story arc. They were all in there, but much, much more subtly than I would write. You know, but as writers, for anyone who's writing, who's listening, you'll know this. You know, the tendency to overwrite is, you know, it's always there. We overwrite, we overread it, especially now we've got word processors. We're always changing things. We can change things very easily. And not to have done that and to see the space, that would be the right way to call it, when it's space in the show.
Yes,
he does keep looking to you for sanity.
Anchoring, I think, okay. Is what it is. The show is very spacious and very charming, and it has a certain naivety to it. But what was interesting was that when we began to shape and edit down the show a little bit for time reasons, there was one song that to me stuck out as like unlike all the other songs and frankly weaker than the others. And I said to Roy, sort of thinking, oh dear, I hope he's not going to mind about this. But I said, Roy, can we get that song out? And Roy said...
Oh, back to me. I said, no worries at all. That's the only song in the show that I actually wrote. I was on a train, and I thought, a song about a wild lynx. This would be interesting. A wild lynx that's a naughty minx that takes someone's socks. This would be an interesting thing. And I wrote it, and it was very much very familiar to me as a process of writing. And the song was, it was structurally good, and it was funny. It was a funny comic song, but traditional in that respect. And of course, when Sue said, yeah, let's lose it, yeah, absolutely. If I was going to do an edit, that would have been the first one I would have put the pen through.
And Tanishka Marat is around the table with me here. And what do you want to know?
Pardon?
A nice question here.
Does it ever frighten you that everything was downloaded through your mind so perfectly and suddenly?
No, it wasn't a frightening experience. It was just a very, very strange one. So, and odd. The oddest things were coming in. I mean, why Canada? I have no idea why the show was set in Canada. I've only been to Canada once. But there was that sense of needing space, and this idea of going north kept coming into my mind. And then one morning I woke up again. This was 3:30, so now it was getting earlier. 3:30, this tune came out. Here they come, here they come, here they come, the beasts from the east. And it was this whole idea, you know, it was the weather front was happening, so that was... going on, and I thought, what is this about? And then, as I was there in that half dream, I realised these beasts from the east were flying ants. And so now we have a song about flying ants. It's very strange. Also, the good thing about having Sue along is that Sue's got this sense of musical, proper musical knowledge. So I think realization when you couldn't harmonise on a particular song is interesting.
Mm. So yeah. There was one song. So there's generally three of us doing harmonies when there's harmony in a song, and we just couldn't do it. And it took. I suddenly came to this realization that the song was actually modal. You know, which is like a very old musical form that you can't really harmonise in triads in the normal way. And it was... So Roy didn't really know that what was going on, but once he worked it out, the whole thing completely unfolded in front of us. So that was a modal song. And then there was another time when I said to Roy, do you know, it'd be nice to have a waltz. All the songs are in 4-4. It'd be nice to have a waltz. And Roy went, oh, yeah. Anyway, so was it 5 o'clock the next morning? The waltz arrived. And Roy was quite annoyed because he wanted a lion. But, yeah, the waltz just arrived.
And the interesting thing about this waltz was that we were working on it. And then about 2 days later, Sue said, you know, it's technically not a waltz. It's in 6-8 time. So that's, you know, very...
Just in case anybody within 50 miles of here wants a narrative. There is a narrative, isn't there?
Well,
no, there is a narrative on the flyer.
There is a narrative. There is a narrative, yes.
So, okay, in short, five go to Canada, meet a dancing bear, and the bear stays with them. And this is the story how Bear came to be in the UK on tour with us. And we managed to get Bear into the UK, no red tape, no quarantine, no immigration officials. And, I mean, it's been occurring to me recently that the way we managed to get Bear into this country might be something we could look at for, you know, we could... there's so many people that need to come to the UK for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, we're not opening our doors enough. And I don't know. I can't really tell you what this show is about because I don't really analyse it. But if ever there's a time we need to be or to welcome the stranger and not vilify the beast from the east, it's now.
And he was pointing his vape at me then. So, take me into a rehearsal.
Take you into a rehearsal.
Yeah, what does a rehearsal for this group look like?
A rehearsal will typically be... Well, it might be that Roy has... something new has arrived with Roy. And so Roy will sing it to us. And myself on violin and Mike on guitar will start picking out the chords that it is and working it out in that way. Now we're at a later stage of the game. A lot of it is tidying up. I mean, for our festival show, we've only got an hour. We did two preview shows where we did two 45-minute sets with so this logistic stuff, really, editing, cutting down, and trying it out on new audiences and new spaces.
Roy, I haven't seen you, I think, for a year or two. So there's a sort of first impression when you haven't seen anyone for a while. You look more content. There's a couple more lines on your face, but this has unravelled something in you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's true, actually. I think, I'd been working, as you know, with Hethcote Williams for a long time, who died in July. And obviously that was a traumatic time. So I was grieving when this show arrived. And maybe this show is about the process of grief. In fact, there's a poem in the show. So poems started turning up as well at a later stage. So one of the poems is called Snow. Shall I do it for you? I'll do it for you. Okay. I don't do it in the show, so it's whether or not I can record it. But
So this is a DVD extra.
Yeah, this is. So wonderful young performer called Caitlin McEwen does the spoken word. Grief, like snow, falls on everything you know. It speaks to the frozen ground. It reeks of earth. It falls where it might and somehow causes you to reflect that death is also your birthright. In the future, a punishment might be to grant someone eternity. I hereby sentence you to life. Then those thus damned will look on with pain as others die again and again, full of envy, for they'll never know the other side of snow.
I'm letting a bit of silence here in these gardens that are not silent. Sue, what's your gentle invitation to people to come and see Bear North?
My gentle invitation is, you know, a lot of people are looking for stuff to take, you know, younger people to. And I think this is a truly accessible show that's great for all the family without it being a children's show.
And I think you mentioned over 10s, not sort of 2-year-olds.
Over 10s, about that, yeah, because I think the younger ones might be a bit scared of the bear.
To Hethcote Williams, thank you.